Our first scripture reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. This is the word of the Lord. How's everyone doing today? Good, good. So I was thinking we would do something fun this morning. You guys want to do something fun? That's not convincing. Do you guys want to do something fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, good. And I was thinking we would do something that we normally wouldn't do in church or inside or in a building for that much. I was thinking we would have a yelling contest. Oh, yeah, does that sound good? All right, so I brought with me my soundometer, okay? And it looks like a hand, but I assure you, it's been modified and adjusted to pick up sounds. And so the higher the sound, the higher it goes, okay? Now let me tell you, for this soundometer, it has never reached all the way up, okay? So do you think, and you all have to work together and be really loud, do you think that you can get it to go all the way up? I don't think so. That wasn't convincing. Do you think you can get it to go all the way up?
Yeah!
Okay, all right. We're going to turn it on. All right, test, test, test. Okay. So, all right, on a count of three, you're going to yell, okay, as loud as you can. That's right. He's already prepping. Good job. Safety, that's good. All right, on a count of three, you're going to yell, and we're going to try to get the soundometer to go all the way up, okay? You ready? One, two, three. Come on. Come up. Get a push. Go. Okay. Well, this has never happened. I think you broke it. It is now stuck like this. And so now it's the high five-o-meter. All right, high five. Yeah, there you go. Okay, cool. All right, So why did we do that? Because it was fun, right? That was fun. But also, it confirms to me that each one of you has a voice. And each one of you knows how to be heard when you want to be heard, right? Yes. Okay. So keep that in mind. Each one of you has a voice. So today is Freedom Sunday. So what does this mean? Any guesses? What does this mean? What is Freedom Sunday? Right. We talk about freedom. And so we are setting aside this day to focus, to think about, to talk about, to pray about people around the world that are in need of freedom, And we believe as a church, we're doing this as a whole church because it's important, and we believe that it matters to God, and so we are talking about freedom of people around the world. And so what do you think they need freedom from? Any guesses?
Slavery,
right. What else? Sins, yes, freedom from sin. We all need freedom from sin. So slavery, sin, homelessness, poverty, violence. Here's another word that you'll hear sometime this morning or throughout this day is injustice, okay? Freedom from injustice. Does anyone know what injustice means? It's kind of a big word. What? Yes. And so injustice, think of it like this. Injustice is when a person is treated or valued less than the person that God created them to be. And see, the thing is that God created all of us, and God loves each and every one of us, and we are his beloved children, his sons and daughters. And so we are all people that God loves. We are his creation. So when people are treated less than that, when people are treated as if they don't deserve dignity or safety or enough food, that's injustice. Okay? Does that make sense? And here's the thing. A big injustice is one you mentioned is slavery. And slavery is when a person is forced to work without pay and without freedom to live their life the way that they might want to live it. And a lot of times we think slavery is something that happened way back then, but slavery exists today. Slavery is happening around this world, and people need to be freed from slavery. What do you think God thinks about people who are trapped in slavery? How do you think God feels about that? Sad. Yeah, mad. It breaks God's heart that people are trapped in slavery. God wants people to be free. And you know, as God sent Jesus to free us from our sins, we are sent to help free people from slavery. And one, you know how we can do that? There's a lot of different ways. And this morning, we are also, you'll hear about IJM. IJM, International Justice Mission, is this amazing ministry, organization, group of people that are helping to free people from slavery around the world. And so they're doing that, but we can also help, and we can do it with what we started out with our yelling contest, with our voices. In Proverbs 31, it says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice." And so we can use our voice, and we can use our voice to share with others what we learned today. We can use our voice to tell people that slavery still exists. We can use our voice to tell people about IJM and how they can support IJM, how we can support IJM. You can use your voice to pray. You can use your voice to pray for people who are still trapped in slavery. Some of the stories you'll hear today. You can use your voice to ask your mom and dad to pray with you for people around this world that are trapped in slavery. And so let's do that this morning. Let's use our voice right now and let's pray, okay? So repeat after me. Dear God, help us to use our voice to serve you. Help us to love our neighbor. Help us to help others. And all of God's children said, amen.
So this is Isaiah 51. This is from the English Standard Version, and this is part of what God says to the church through his prophet. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, and that may be you, you may feel, that's me. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving in the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, God says, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice, or my righteousness, same word in Hebrew, I will set my justice and my righteousness for a light to the peoples. My righteousness, my justice draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness, my justice, will never be dismayed. Lots of other passages we could read. The Bible is full in the Old and New Testament of clear signs that what matters to God is justice. As Jason talked to the kids, we have a voice, and today we get to hear the voice of someone who actually has been on the front lines, the the work of IJM. So let me introduce to you two people to start, Sandra and Brian Nasala. Stand. They are with us. And I would say all the way from Uganda, but they're coming to us via Champaign, Illinois, near there, where Brian is getting a master's in their law school there. So Brian will be up in a minute. Again, some of us have been kind of on this journey. We've heard the stories. Last year, we saw on the screen this beautiful story of rescue of this boy named Foley, who was a slave on a lake in Ghana, Lake Volta, where thousands of boys are trafficked for slavery. They got to jump in and loosen nets from the floor, and they lose their lives. They lose their freedom. And we celebrated that rescue, and that rescue and that aftercare is still happening for lots of boys in Ghana. It's also happening in the Philippines. Brian will tell you a statistic of the reduction of sex trafficking of children in the Philippines, Cebu in particular, because of the work of IJM and some of their practices and the way they work with law enforcement and government. And that's working. And we've heard the stories about bonded labor in India. All these slaves that are in our world. And of course, we know they're right here in our community. And so we are also paying attention to that. But to get us started, to introduce us to a story that Brian is familiar with, I'm going to encourage you to look on the screens. They're all transcribed, these stories. So you will need to read, because it will be hard to actually kind of follow along. But listen to the story of Claire. There are more stories like that. And we get to hear from someone who has lived some of these stories firsthand. So welcome, Brian Nasala.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Tom. Now, can I say I was there on that day when the judge handed down the sentence to the perpetrator that had done so much wrong to Claire. And to see Claire's joy that day, to see the expression on her face was simply priceless. After all she had gone through, finally she could go back to her home. She could go back to her land. It was a matter of life and death for her. And finally being able to take her kids back into a house, a place where they could sleep at night, that meant everything. And I'm glad to report that they're doing well. The children are back in school. Claire has a little business that she is doing. And recently, she was actually transitioned out of the aftercare process. She is now back to a place of safety and strength. And that's all we are about. It is my pleasure for my wife and I to share this Sunday morning with you. I was just thinking, is it afternoon yet? It's morning, still morning. And what a remarkable family you guys have here. All the guys that I was able to meet yesterday, thank you so much for praying for me. I wasn't too well and had to see the doctor on Friday, who gave me some medication, and now I'm able to stand before you. As you may have heard a little about our story, the summary of which really is that Sandra and I met 6 years ago at my church parking lot one Saturday morning. In fact, that morning started off quite interestingly. I'd been in studio. I was hosting a radio show at 6 in the morning and had worked from 6 and it was about 9. I still had an hour to go and decided to take a quick break just to refresh and get back to studio in order to continue with the show. And it was during that break that I noticed this lady just pacing back and forth in the parking lot in some form of frustration of sorts. And standing there looking at her, a voice told me, walk up to her and say hi. Another competing voice said, mind your business. Well, tell you what, I'm glad I listened to the former, because look where we are now. About 3 years married, and I'm loving the experience. Now, until recently, I was the communications manager at International Justice Mission in our field office in Kampala. I still I'm very, very connected with IJM because I'm helping out with the mobilization efforts that we have globally. And that role required me to write and tell the story, to meet clients from the time when they get into a program or when they first interact with IJM to a place where their story is really complete. So I was always behind the scene writing the story for the world or the global audience. And that, of course, meant writing articles in newspapers and doing a lot of writing for magazines and different media as well. And I loved it. I loved it very much. In fact, I was also, I do lots of speaking engagements. I was doing those in Uganda. But in all my experience, I've come to learn that people that have been in a place that is dark and destitute have so much to offer the world. And some of their experiences have made them so strong. And they've learned all these things that they could rely on to actually face the different challenges of the times that we live in. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were very excited. About 10 weeks ago, we were excited because we had learned that we were going to become first-time parents. And that meant everything. Well, thanks for clapping. But about 2 weeks ago, unfortunately, we lost our baby. And it's been very difficult. It's been very painful. And having to juggle all the things in life, I got to a place of brokenness, deep pain. It is G.K. Chesterton that said, the way to love anything is to realize that it might be lost. In such a time, finding meaning and strength and facing the day can be rather difficult. And so there's things that make life better. Simple things can make life better. Well, for me, these simple things have been listening to music and reading poetry. And one of those songs that has really profoundly captured me more than anything is a song with these words: I am weary from the waves, crashing over every day. God of mercy, please come rescue me. I am longing for your voice, a gentle whisper in the noise. Father, tell me everything is all right. You see, the Bible teaches us that in the beginning, God created everything and it was good. Until sin came into the world. The fall unleashed a horrible scene into this world, the scene of violence. It begins with Cain killing Abel and gets so bad that by the time of Noah, God is done with it. He says he's going to end the whole human story with a flood because humans have filled the earth with violence. Ultimately, God decides not to end the human story. Instead, he begins working his long-term plan of redemption. Redemption of all creation through the reign of his son, King Jesus, who will personally establish a new heaven and a new earth where tears will be wiped away, where there will be no more death, no mourning, no crying or pain. This is how we know the story will end. But in the meantime, this violence consistently threatens to get out of control in the world that we live in today. You see, the United Nations estimates that 25,000 children die each day from hunger or hunger-related causes. UNICEF has estimated that nearly 2 million children are exploited in the global sex trade. National Geographic ran a story and it said 27 million slaves are living in this world today. 27. 1 billion children globally experience violence and abuse. 1 billion. As seen in our scriptures this morning, Prophet Isaiah is warning the leaders of Israel of their rebellion, idolatry, and injustice. In Isaiah 1:4, he says, he actually calls them a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, with sin, with injustice, with wrongdoing. He then urges them in Isaiah 1:17 to learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow. Once Jesus was asked by a certain lawyer, Luke 10:25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' It was then that a discussion ensued, in which two great commandments were affirmed. One, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." Jesus then proceeded to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, unfortunately, history has testified in our world time and time again of the church or Christians' failure to love our neighbor. Let's think about what happened during the Holocaust. The systematic murder of approximately 6 million Jews. Think about the Rwanda genocide that took place. The murder of children, women, and men simply because they were not a part of your tribe. And there is countless other things that are happening in this world today that are heartbreaking. But let me tell you something. It is happening in communities that are predominantly Christian. Places where people follow Christ. What happened to loving one another? What happened to loving our neighbor? To stopping for a moment and considering that those are people like you and I. You see, for most of us, sometimes we do not realize that these numbers are actually people. It's mothers, it's fathers, it's brothers, it's sisters, it is uncles, it's grandfathers, it's your neighbor, it could be you. You know, I'll introduce you to a lady called Alice. Back in Uganda, there's lots of injustice that take place, and one of those big problems is domestic violence, where men beat up their wives and oftentimes kick them out. And because they are powerful, nobody can do anything to them, and they just do it. Alice, as a little girl, first experienced her violence in her home. She could hear her father's anger as he yelled at her mother. And young Alice watched him violently beat up her mother at the slightest mistake. Now, these were the roles that Alice and many other children in northern Uganda watched and actually played out. They played out the roles with their father being so brutal and very hard and tough and violent. And for many of them, for most women, this forced them to accept that kind of life as the norm. And you know what's sad? the justice system left them unprotected. Because it got so bad that everybody accepts that that's the way life is supposed to be. She tells a story and says, when Ivan first met her, Ivan wore baggy clothes and braided hair. When he first introduced himself to her at the market where she sold charcoal, she did not like his type. He looked young and irresponsible. But eventually, he won Alice over in his obsessive pursuit. When we just started out, Ivan was really good, Alice said. He took care of me when I was pregnant, soon after our relationship started. He told her to stop working when her pregnancy made her sick, and he took on the role of being sole provider in their growing family. And Alice never considered leaving him, of course, and not even when he started beating her. He hit her, cheated on her with multiple women, and a decade and three children later left her for someone else. Now the bills and unpaid school fees of their children began piling up, along with hungry nights. With little education, no job, and no source of income, Alice's only means of support at that time was Ivan. But her family grew hungrier and sicker every day, leaving Alice exposed and vulnerable to Ivan's most violent attacks. Alice went back to Ivan one last time to beg for help, for the much-needed help for the family and the children. The begging grew into a heated argument, and it got worse. He snapped and started beating her up. He beat her so bad, grabbed her by the neck, and started to strangle her to a point of death. If it were not for the 7-year-old daughter that jumped on him and pulled him back, as the rest of the children watched in horror, that perhaps would have been Alice's last night. She was beaten so bad that she needed to go into medical emergency. At the hospital, Alice learned about an organization that takes care of cases, that takes care of people like her. And that organization is International Justice Mission. She was skeptical. Why would total strangers come to her rescue? Why would they even think about her? Why would they want to be involved in her life? And she was worried. Would they even care about her children? If she leaves the world today, what will be of her 3 children? But when IJM got to learn of this case, we actually got up and went to her. We can only do the work that we do because of people like you that stand in the gap and pray for us. Every morning at International Justice Mission, we pray for 30 minutes. We stop, we come into the office, spend the first 30 minutes in silence, just listening to God, in stillness, listening to God. And then the 30 other minutes we spend in prayer for God to give us the courage to face the challenges that come our way, for God to open up the opportunities and to help us as we reach out to love somebody that doesn't know us and somebody we do not know personally, but that God will enable us to create a relationship and fight for all these individuals that are stuck in bondage It is only by God's grace and God's love that we are able to actually step out every single day to reach out to these people. Our teams all around the world, our teams in India, in the Philippines, everywhere, everywhere, we do that. And with God, it's been possible for us to do the work that we do. We know that the only true justice is one that is rooted in God, in Christ. And that is how we are able to do the work. And of course, we need support from people like you. And because of your support, we have been able to start a pilot project in northern Uganda that protects women from violence. We were able to start this, and it's been successful because for the very first time, we are seeing people. We have actually seen the justice system shift perspective to protecting women that have been abused. For the first time, we are seeing sentences being handed down to men that beat their wives. We are seeing that a judge will issue an order for somebody to vacate the property that doesn't belong to them and belongs to the widow. We are going against some really, really powerful individuals. And I was just sharing with Pastor Tom yesterday that some of the work that we are doing and part of the pilot project that we did was in Western Uganda. And what we're dealing with was responding to cases of defilement and rape. Girls that have been defiled. Women that have been raped and left destitute. That are in pain. Now we know that we can solve this challenge. We know that we can get justice for them. How? We know that the laws in most of the countries do, in fact, prohibit any form of violence. They do actually protect women. They actually do guarantee rights and freedoms for people that are being defiled. There is actually penal codes that have clear laws stipulating a consequence of a criminal act. But because the justice systems are so broken, because the police will not respond due to corruption or just lack of training or really just people that are not passionate about their work and just do not care for lives, if we go in and we train and work alongside them, it has actually worked. We've seen police become proficient at their work, more efficient at what they do. We've seen the directors of public prosecution or prosecutors actually take on the cases and come up with very clear arguments for the courts of law. And when they give these arguments or make the arguments before the judge, they are able to get a sentence. We've also trained judges. We've gotten them to understand and enable them to appreciate the fact that these injustices exist in the societies. And by the way, they are aware of them because these are the communities from which they were raised. So they know it. And now they are able to respond. This we can only do by actually relying on the God of justice. Now, Alice said, there will be a time when men will stop beating their wives up. She says, I see a future for women where if men are spoken or have come to them for advice, they will learn. They will learn that even men, even women can contribute and advise the men. Now that's a change that is only possible loving our neighbor. Our God is the God of justice. His love and justice culminated in sending Jesus Christ on behalf of the world. And now Christ sends his followers, just as the Father sent him, to love our neighbors. To bring an end to injustice, oppression, slavery, poverty, violence. Deuteronomy 16:20 says, "Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Isaiah 51:4 says, "Give attention to me, my people, and give your ear to me, my nations. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples." Is the problem difficult and very big? Yes, it is. Is it going to be very painful and sometimes we will feel like quitting? Yes, it will be. But God is on our side and Christ is there with us. And all we need to do is to obey, to step out and to love. In fact, it's Edmund Burke that said, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." But let me tell you, even if we are few, this is what the anthropologist Margaret Mead said. She said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." And because of that, because of the small number of people that are committed to step out, we are seeing change. In the Philippines, we saw an incredible drop, 79% drop in numbers of minors that were available for sex, for the commercial sex industry in Cebu. We've seen that happen. With efficient public justice systems and great aftercare services, it is possible to turn these stories around. And I ask us to step out and to love our neighbors, to step out and recognize the challenges that might be in our communities. Can we do that today? May we pray. Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to listen to stories. We want to thank you for loving us. We want to thank you because it is you that transforms the world. It is you that transforms the hearts of men. In your name we pray.